Welcome to the Pageantry Podcast.
And today's special guest on the Pageantry Podcast is Inside Edition's own Megan Alexander, our cover feature model for the fall 2010 edition of Pageantry Magazine. Good day, Megan. How are you?
Hey, Carl. I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I am doing wonderful. I'm so excited to speak with you today. It's a pleasure and a unique position that I'm in that actually I personally know and welcome a friend to the podcast. Again, welcome, and we're excited to get into our questions today and feature you, you know, on the cover of the fall edition. I know you've got a busy schedule today, so I will get right into it if it is okay with you.
Sounds great. Looking forward to it, and thank you so much for asking me to chat with you.
Oh, and believe me, the pleasure is definitely ours here at Pageantry Magazine. In reading your bio, and a lot of us know you, not only from Pageantry and Inside Edition, but you're a wonderful and positive role model, and you have a very unique perspective on the glamour lifestyle industry, especially within pageantry, correct?
You know, I think I do, and thank you for saying that. It is a bit where I got my start, so I'm always happy to chat about that. And then as the audience will learn, my family's connected to it too.
And we will definitely learn about that. Now, you were introduced to the public at an early age. How old were you when you first knew that you wanted to pursue a career in showbiz?
Well, you know, Carl, it's kind of funny. My mom tells a cute story of how when I was 5 years old, my kindergarten class was taking a tour of a radio station. And she says that the DJ asked who wanted to be interviewed on air. Supposedly, the teacher volunteered me. I don't remember this. So my mom says the teacher volunteered me, and there I was on the radio at age five, cracking people up and looking like I was very comfortable. So I guess you could say, you know, 5 years old is where my first radio experience came. And my family's very musical. My sister and I play the piano, guitar, violin. We started lessons at a very early age. And you know, I grew up watching the Barbara Mandrell and Dolly Parton Christmas specials. And I knew at some point I wanted to pursue a career in the arts. I wasn't sure exactly what, but I was a child that loved to be involved in a little bit of everything and loved to sing and perform in church. That was when I really started learning about the entertainment industry, if you will.
And you were actually in a singing group as a young person.
Yes, I was. In high school, I went to a small Christian high school, and we had a singing group called Living Faith, which I was a part of. It was about 20 people, and it was a pop group, and I had the great opportunity to perform on the weekends, whether at fairs, churches, other schools. We took a trip to South Korea twice in high school, so all through high school, I was performing, speaking, singing with a bunch of friends my age, which was just really fun and a great way to, you know, get involved in the industry.
And I also know that you competed in pageants as a young person. How did that come about?
I did. You know, as I mentioned, I was a child that liked to be involved in a little bit of everything. I was on sports teams. I played volleyball, tennis, basketball, music. And I remember in 1992, yes, I'll go ahead and say the year, my mom got a flyer in the mail and an invitation to compete in the American Co-ed pageant system. And Steve and Kathleen Mays were my state directors. They now run National American Miss. And my mom said, "Meg, do you think this would be something you'd be interested in doing?" And I remember us collecting information on the pageant, and we were very impressed with the fact that there was a no makeup and no swimsuit rule. And especially as a 12-year-old, that was so important to my family. And we said, you know what, let's give this a try. And it was really Steve and Kathleen, once we got to the pageant, who sealed the deal for us. You know, once I met them and got to know them, got to be around the pageant atmosphere and see that, you know, it's very natural. Again, no makeup, a heavy emphasis on community service and good grades. I thought, you know, I'd like to give this a try. And, you know, I'm proud to say, Carl, that the night I won Miss Washington Preteen, I literally curled my hair, put on my dress, and put on chapstick. And I love to say that, just chapstick. It's a totally natural pageant and one that my family came to really appreciate and love.
And today you're still actively involved in pageantry, really from the outside in, but also still involved.
Yes. You know, again, Steve and Kathleen made a real impression on me. I went on to, you know, have a regular high school experience, sports, school plays, student government. But in the summer, I would love to come back and help out as summer staff at Steve and Kathleen state pageants. And, you know, they saw that I had a gift for public speaking and asked me to start emceeing their shows and working on their staff. And it was a great summer job for high school and then as a college student. And then I'm, you know, proud to say that I got the opportunity to MC their very first national pageant for National American Miss in 2003. And, you know, they gave me an opportunity to continue to sharpen those skills in public speaking, help out at a pageant that I'd come to really appreciate, help out and encourage other people as staff. And so now, even with my career as a broadcast journalist, you know, I try to help out whenever my schedule allows. And I also try to support other pageants. You know, I judge the Miss Texas USA pageant and a few others. So I try to when I can and just stay in touch and give back to a pageant that did so much for me.
Obviously still involved, international showbiz personality, but you still become involved. What do you feel is the most positive attribute of the various competitions available?
You know, one thing that impressed me that I still think about was at Stephen Kathleen's pageant, you know, the atmosphere at pageant competitions in terms of my fellow contestants. I was around girls that were sharing that they were student council president and talking about all the activities they were involved in life. And, you know, pageants can really attract just a neat group of young people who can motivate each other. You know, we hear the expression, iron sharpens iron. And I remember thinking, gosh, I'd like to go back and run for student body president. And I was inspired by my fellow contestants. So, you know, one thing that pageants do is the community service aspect. I think it's really neat. Pageants like Miss America, obviously the platform is very key to their competition. And for National American Miss, community service counts for 10% of the contestant score. That's tapping into our core beliefs as Americans, you know, helping our neighbor, finding better ways to better our planet. I've become familiar with so many community service organizations through the pageant contestants that help out. You know, just the other day, Carl, I became aware of a National American Miss State Queen who was the top fundraiser at a cancer walk in Seattle. She had literally raised thousands of dollars for cancer research. And to me, that is so awesome. I'm blown away by the hundreds of volunteer service hours the pageant contestants log all across the country. It's awesome.
And you're still actively involved in community service. Is there a cause or causes that's important to you?
Yeah, I really believe in encouraging the next generation. I became familiar with a neat organization called Girls, Inc., and their motto is teaching all girls to be strong, smart, and bold. And when I was a news anchor in San Antonio, Texas, I served on their board locally, and I still try to help out the New York branch when I can here in Manhattan. They have a great website, girlsinc.org. And I try to just help out in any way I can, you know, whether it's emceeing a fundraiser for an animal shelter or a gala, you know, we can all do our part. My husband Brian and I recently helped build a house for Habitat for Humanity. So, you know, we can all do our part, and it's just inspiring to see what these young people are doing.
And as they begin at a young age, they develop, they grow, they, you know, become the leaders of tomorrow. Give us your views on really the personal development opportunities and how they affected you personally and professionally.
Sure. Well, no matter what career you go into, no matter what your career ambition is, everybody can benefit from some type of an interview competition or a speech competition at a pageant. No matter what your career is, we're all going to need to interview someday and continue to interview for our career. And we're all going to make some type of a presentation at work, whether it be to a small group, to a large ballroom filled with people. Maybe it's a special meeting at work that we're going to be involved with. You know, those core skills that you can gain in a competition at a pageant, I mean, those are just invaluable. I found that, you know, as a 12 and 13-year-old interviewing, beginning to formulate my thoughts and goals about what I'd like to be when I grow up and my career ambitions, those are so valuable. And I think that it's important, that, you know, for me at age 12 and 13, when I got involved, that's a really crucial age as you're going into high school and thinking about the activities you want to be involved in and thinking about what path you're going to take. No matter what your career, those communication skills are so important. And I can see in my life, obviously as a broadcast journalist, being on camera, needing to work fast under pressure, those are skills that you gain in competition. And those are ones that I see every day play out in my life that I'm thankful I started to develop at a young age in pageants.
So you're confident that it has helped you in your career as a broadcast journalist?
Absolutely. I think if you go into any type of competition with a positive attitude, thinking this is an experience, I will take everything I can from this, I will learn something from what I'm doing and move forward, absolutely. Competition is healthy, you know, just like playing on sports, you learn teamwork and sportsmanship. Any type of performing or presenting in front of a group, I think, is so important and so valuable.
And many of the young people who look up to our industry celebrities, such as yourself, and a lot of the former title holders are in broadcast journalism. Tell us how your career developed. California, Tennessee, et cetera.
Yeah. Well, I was involved in all types of different activities in high school. I attended Westmont College, which is a small liberal arts college in Santa Barbara. I majored in political science with an emphasis in international relations, and just got involved in all different types of activities in college, student council again, speech and debate. I spent a semester in Washington, D.C., interning for a U.S. senator. So any ways that you can get involved in all different types of business, communication, for me, political science, which is very helpful for my career now. Obviously, politics is a big deal in television news. And then internships. If anyone wants to get involved in my industry, I would stress to them, internships, internships, internships. I did 7 internships, Carl, before I got my first job. I did internships in radio, television, newspaper, PR. So do those internships. After college, I graduated from college, moved to Nashville, Tennessee, got involved a little bit in the country music industry. I appeared in a few music videos, including Josh Turner's music video, What It Ain't, which is one of my favorites. And anything in the performing arts in country music I pursued. And then eventually I became a part-time radio reporter. That led to a position as a television reporter for a morning show in Nashville. And then I moved to San Antonio, Texas, to be the co-host of a show called Great Day San Antonio. And that was a wonderful experience. I worked in San Antonio for 3 years, also as the morning traffic reporter, before Inside Edition came calling. And I moved to New York City in the fall of 2008. And have been here ever since.
And congratulations. And now, as a nightly correspondent for Inside Edition, what does a day in the life of Megan Alexander entail?
You know, this is such a hard question to answer, Carl, because every day is different. I would say, you know, a typical day, if there is one, would be, it begins with reading and watching television, reading the newspapers, scrolling the internet for the morning news, several different websites that we go to, keeping the television on. I have CNN headline news on in the morning. I head to work. We sort of figure out what the top stories of the day are. Mm-hmm. I'll go into hair and makeup. Again, more research, more reading, more writing, writing out my questions, figuring out who my interviews are going to be for the day. I tend to do interviews and reports into the afternoon. Inside Edition tapes in the late afternoon, so we have to have all our stories in by about 2-3 o'clock, and then we tape for about an hour, we edit, we, you know, fine-tune our stories for the day. We're a 30-minute news magazine television show. A little bit of entertainment, a little bit of politics, a little bit of feature stories, regular stories, if you will, about American heroes. And then sometimes in the late afternoon, about, I would say, 2 times a week, I head over to CNN Headline News to be a panelist for a program called Showbiz Tonight. I do that about twice a week. And that is where we talk about the entertainment stories of the day, and we all give an opinion on them. So we all sort of take a side and discuss what we felt about the big entertainment stories of the day that are breaking. And then in the late evening, a lot of times I will go to a red carpet to cover a movie premiere or an award show, or maybe there's a late night interview to cover. And then somewhere in there, Carl, I squeeze in working out, walking my dog, eating, you know, somehow we make it all work, and then I try to get some sleep before I get up and start it all over the next day.
All within the relaxing confines of New York.
Right, exactly. Some crazy cab rides in the middle of there, some subway rides, exactly.
Unlike yourself, I'm, you know, an amateur interviewer, but I know, you know, you have really conducted countless interviews, many with well-known celebrities, Miss Americas, everyone. What is one of your most memorable interviews?
Sure. Well, one thing that's really neat about my job is that we really get a backstage pass to a lot of major events, major moments for celebrities. And I'm really lucky to be in the same room as some pretty incredible events are unfolding, whether it's covering the presidential race in 2008, being on the campaign trail. I've had the opportunity to have two great one-on-one interviews with somebody like Sir Anthony Hopkins, you know, probably one of the greatest actors of all time. I got to really see him in a regular setting as he was talking about his artwork. He's a painter, which not a lot of people know, and talking to him about that. I got to be backstage at the CMA Awards and literally grab Taylor Swift for an interview right after she won CMA Entertainer of the Year. You know, those are fun moments to be right there and to report on that for our audience and give them a backstage pass into those moments. That's what's really fun. And yes, oftentimes right after Miss America wins, you know this, they'll fly them on a red-eye flight to New York City, and they'll make the rounds on the Today Show. They'll come interview at Inside Edition, and it's neat to be able to interview the next Miss America or the next Miss USA literally a day or two after they've just won and say, how are you doing? How's it going? And talk to them and relay that to the audience. You get to see those behind-the-scenes moments, which are really fun.
And many times they're still shell-shocked.
Yes, they are. Yes, they've not unpacked their suitcase. They don't know what city they're in, what time zone it is. It is fun, and I say congratulations and welcome, and here we go. So,
what's a personal witness to how these competitions and this lifestyle impacts the young people who compete, whether it's in pageants, modeling competitions, dance competitions, recitals, etc.?
You know, any type of competition is really healthy. It teaches teamwork, sportsmanship, hopefully good manners. And coaches play a big role in that, too, in terms of setting examples and being role models. I think the kids that are involved in a lot of activities through school, you know, studies tend to reveal to us that they're more motivated and excited about life. I mean, we just mentioned it. It's a fast-paced society nowadays. You need to think on your feet quickly, especially in television or any type of the showbiz industry. You need to be prepared quickly and formulate your thoughts quickly. For me, sometimes I need to formulate questions in a matter of minutes, sometimes in a matter of seconds. And any type of competition, whether it's a speech competition, debate competition, or that on-stage interview at a pageant or the interview competition, being able to think on your feet, think quickly, and have an opinion on something, and set goals and achieve them, and have a focus in life. I think we see that play out in a lot of our role models, if you will, nowadays, and people that I interview, being able to formulate thoughts quickly. You get that in pageants.
What advice would you give to a young person who dreams of following in your footsteps?
Well, my dad gave me the best advice when I graduated college. He said, Meg, the finals are never over. And in other words, you'll never stop learning in life. And at the time I thought, oh no, I thought I was done with all my finals. But what he really meant is always be a student. Observe and learn. And you know, to kids I would just say, get involved in things that you're passionate about. Find others who share the same passions, other teammates, fellow contestants. You know, life is so much more fun when you have a friend right there with you. Mm-hmm. And for me personally, reading and writing is critical to my job, so be a good student, graduate from a good college, and choose something that you're passionate about, and realize that, as I mentioned, it's so much funner to do it with other people. You know, Carl, I still keep in touch with some of my fellow contestants back in the pageant in 1992. One of them, actually two of them, were bridesmaids in my wedding just a few years ago. So developing those friendships, people that can motivate you along the way, that's just wonderful. I have wonderful memories and appreciate those friendships. And then, you know, I would say get involved in a variety of things and realize that it's the experience that matters the most. Obviously, sometimes you're going to win, sometimes you won't win. But being able to take something valuable, taking a valuable nugget of wisdom from every experience, every competition, every pageant, that's when you can really make the most of life.
And we hear that positive side of industry, lifelong friends, all the time. There's just so many stories, it's really unbelievable. What advice would you give to a parent?
You know, I would encourage parents to really research any activity they're interested in getting their child involved with. You know, my parents did this. Check with the Better Business Bureau, ask for referrals, references. And I think, you know, I'm thankful that my parents said, let's give this a try for fun, but when it stops being fun, you know, we won't do it anymore, especially at a young age. You know, kids need to just be kids. So do it for the experience. Your child will learn some valuable life lessons, communications, performing arts skills. And I would also tell parents, pageants are not just for kids who want to get involved in showbiz. Any type of child can benefit from a good pageant and a good program, no matter what their career ambition is. Like I said, we can all benefit from interview and communication skills, no matter what your child's involved in. Your child may not even be interested in the showbiz industry, But if your child is a little bit shy and just wants to gain a little bit more confidence, that may be what they will take from the pageant, and they may go on to be an animal trainer or a lawyer or a mom or a teacher. So realize that I think all careers can benefit from experience in pageants.
And I tell a lot of people, there's a lot more of us behind the camera than in front of the camera.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It takes so many people to put together, you know, a show, a television show or something in the entertainment industry. Producers, writers, directors, photographers, so many wonderful aspects to the industry that people may be interested in, not necessarily just in front of the camera.
And even many of our cover models, your own Inside Edition's Deborah Norville.
Yay!
You know, Lisa Givens, Halle Berry, Eva Longoria. We've been very fortunate enough to have wonderful positive role models, grace the covers of Pageantry Magazine. But there has to be a singular trait that all of you possess. What do you think it is?
Well, you know, I've actually interviewed and met everyone that you just mentioned except for Halle Berry, but I've heard such great things about her. You know, every one of those ladies, Carl, is well-spoken, motivated, a hard worker. You know, we hear all these ladies' success stories, but I think it's important to, you know, don't forget, for every time they won, they probably lost 20, 30 times. I know that's true for me. And in my interactions with Eva, Lisa, and Deborah, you know, they're gracious women. Eva remembered everyone's name in the room when I interviewed her in San Antonio, Texas. They're all smart business women. And hopefully I think this means that, you know, pageants teach you good manners. They're classy ladies.
Mm-hmm. And I wholeheartedly agree. On a lighter note, you'd mentioned your husband Brian's name a little bit earlier, and I know that pageantry holds a special place in your heart. I know that it played a major role in you meeting Brian. Care to enlighten our listeners?
Yes, you know, my husband Brian and I, we both began working for Steve and Kathleen Mays as teenagers. And he was interested in the business side and the production side of National American Miss. National American Miss shows are known for their incredible production and customer service and professionalism. And we were both drawn to that. And Brian, especially my husband, after college, he began working full-time for Steve and Kathleen Mays and for National American Miss and really was impressed with just the motivating aspect to their shows, encouraging the next generation, teaching valuable lifelong skills. And now he's a state director for four states for National American Miss. And if anyone's ever met my husband, Brian, they know that he's a true motivator. And so we worked together in the summer and kept in touch through college, and I began my career in television, and we still kept in touch and would see each other every now and then in the summer at the state shows. And I finally realized he's my kindred spirit. He's my soulmate, and he's certainly supportive and my number one fan for me in my career and in my industry. We got married in January of 2009, and you know, I'm so proud that he works for a program as quality as National American Miss. And I just love supporting him at his state shows in the summer, and we both have really come to just appreciate and be thankful that, you know, Brian has a career that he believes in and a program that he believes in, such as National American Miss.
And I know it's always hard to look ahead, but where do you see Megan Alexander in 10 to 20 years?
Well, you know, I will leave that up to the good Lord, Carl. I had no idea I would be where I am now if you were to have asked me that 10 years ago. You know, I'd love to continue in the television business. I think that's where I'm supposed to be for a while. It's an interesting time right now in our world, in our country, and I want to be a part of that conversation. So I'd like to continue in the television industry. I have a few ideas for some books I've been meaning to write that I would hopefully have penned and authored in 10 years, and like to be surrounded by my wonderful family and friends. And, you know, if you've met my husband Brian and I, we're both big dreamers, so anything is possible, but I'd like to continue in the industry and see where God takes me in 10 years. But I'm excited. You know, the future the possibilities are endless, I guess you could say. So I'm very excited.
As are we. Any parting thoughts? Words of wisdom?
You know, Carl, my father and I have a little ritual. Every morning we email each other what we call a quote of the day. And he sent me something a while ago that I thought was very appropriate just for competition and pageants and everything that we're talking about. He sent me a quote by Rebecca Twigg, who is an American racing cyclist, and this is the quote. With sports, you get the results back right away. With life, it's not always so black and white. And you know, I think that's a neat quote because Carl, you know, people may compete in a pageant right now, and they may not see the results until a couple years from now, maybe several years from now. But I think if we look at life for the experience and for the life lessons that we can learn, you will not always win, but it's what you take from the experiences and how you apply it to your life in the future. And I think that's something that's really important to remember. You know, life is a journey, and it's not the destination that's so important, but it's what we learn along the way in the journey. And I see that. I would share that with your viewers. You know that as well. When we look at life as just a wonderful journey, I think that it becomes so much more enjoyable, and we realize that, you know, everything we do now may not play out for a couple of years, but it will play out, and you will see those seeds that you plant grow and bloom in your life. So keep at it. Never give up, and keep enjoying every moment.
And thank you for my daily affirmation with that.
Oh, yeah, indeed. Well, you as well. You know, Carl, I appreciate so much the stories that you share in pageantry and the wisdom that comes across from interviewing these fine young women that share their experiences and what they've learned. I appreciate and look forward to all the issues of Pageantry Magazine for that.
Well, thank you. And the interviewing process, especially here on the Pageantry Podcast, is a learning experience for me. I am following in your footsteps, so to speak. And we always look for those who succeed and lead, guide, and direct us in all of our, you know, daily endeavors here at Pageantry. And of course, we always appreciate your support, the support that you give the industry as well.
Oh, absolutely. I'm proud to be a part of it.
Well, thank you, Megan. And today's special guest was Megan Alexander of Inside Edition. Megan, we thank you for calling in today, and we look forward to broadcasting this to our listeners around the globe. And you have a wonderful day.
Thank you so much, Carl. You as well.